Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Gimmick Minute Wrestling Podcast. My name is Jason. I'm joined this week by Kevin and Riley, your usuals, here with you every week, talking about what's going on in the world of pro wrestling. And I don't know about anybody listening to this, but I feel like there's a lot to talk about, and it all just happened in the last week.
Not at all. Nothing.
Not at all. So we're gonna go ahead and kind of get this kick started. If you want to join in on the conversation, you can just follow us on X at Live Your Gimmick. That's the at symbol followed by LiveYourGimmick. You can also follow us on your favorite podcast app of choice. You can find us on YouTube and TikTok by just searching Gimmick Minute. So do that. Subscribe to anything that you can subscribe to, because it really helps with our algorithm, helps us get more exposure and attention, and helps us with our listens. So please, if you do listen to the show on a regular basis, please subscribe. Also, share with your friends. Bring more people along for the conversations. We love interaction. So come on and join us. But all right, so let's start this off. I want to go all the way back. I want to rewind time and go back to Friday Night SmackDown, right? So, you know, we heard that Cody was going to be on the show. We expected Cody to make his decision for WrestleMania. And what transpired in that situation was not necessarily a decision. He had just told Roman that he had spoken with people, or like legends, and sought counsel with his family and all that. And he decided that he's coming after Roman, but maybe not at WrestleMania. And one of those legends knew Roman really well, and then hits the Rock's music to a loud pop. There it is. So Riley, what was your thoughts in that moment when that happened?
Actually, before like he even said too much Cody Rhodes, that's what I said. Like, my girlfriend was right next to me, and I'm like, "Have you smell?" And she just looked at me like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "The Rock's coming out. He's coming out."
Yeah.
And then he came out. I do wish they would have said something, but that like, I guess led into the press conference.
Right.
That,
so you wish he and Roman had said something to each other.
Had some conflict or anything? They just kind of looked at each other.
Okay.
And the show ended.
Okay. All right. And Kevin, so without even talking about like what happened prior to that, I just want to get, what was your reaction to just that segment, that moment, The Rock coming out to confront Roman with and that whole interaction with him and Cody?
I honestly did not have any initial emotions to it, because I guess I was, and I, it kind of takes off what, well, it kind of takes off what you said on Twitter or on X, Jason, like mixed emotions.
Yeah.
Like, it's cool and everything, but the whole thought and the whole idea of Cody, you know, giving up his spot basically for The Rock kind of like bummed me out a little bit.
So not only did it bum you out, it also bummed out millions of people online and all over the US, possibly all over the world, man. Like, the amount of backlash down to the arena, you know, when the Rock's music hit, they popped, right? Like, that was a reaction. They were loud. They were happy. They were, you know, surprised. There was that oh shit moment with the two of them face to face. But I think everybody started, like, Cody's eyes after he had that kind of one-on-one with the Rock, his eyes just, like, your heart kind of broke for the guy. It was almost like he was giving up his dream. And so I think that's what caused a lot of the problems.
So there was it was almost like an initial shock, mm-hmm. because people didn't realize what was really going on yet. And then once everybody started kind of like putting two and two together,
mm-hmm.
that's when you start getting the, wait a second. Like, you know what I mean? So,
So Riley, I saw you shake your head. Typically, you don't hear much of the internet chatter, but I'm guessing you heard internet chatter from this.
No, it was just from Monday Night Raw. Like, the response.
Oh, okay. To,
that's what it's like. I'm well, not the, sure the what next, they're the saying, but they don't seem happy.
Oh, it was you know, I mean, like, it was immediate.
Yes.
Well, here's the thing, too. Yeah. And this didn't help. And because really it almost kind of persuaded people a lot was all the reports, which some it might be true, of basically how The Rock is like pushing for this and kind of pushing for the spot and kind of like just waltzed in and like took it. So I think that fueled the fire. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
well, I'm sure the other internet rumors did. I think didn't help. But I mean, the live crowds definitely have kind of soured or turned on the situation. So then you fast forward, you know, like Riley was saying on Monday, you know, the crowd didn't really like it. But we had the "We Want Cody" movement, right? The crowd was overbearing. "We want Cody. We want Cody. We want Cody." He came out in that first segment with Seth. They had a nice little back and forth, and Drew McIntyre, dude, Drew McIntyre is just on another level right now.
Dude.
Yes.
Oh, man, that's
absolutely.
Honestly, I know we, with our show here, we wanted to start with SmackDown and everything, and then obviously what happened today and whatnot, but it was like, I almost wanted to start talking about Raw, like how, like, pretty damn good Raw was Monday.
It was really good, yeah.
Just that opening with everything, and like,
well, it ties into what we're talking about with Cody, so it's fine.
Yeah, but Drew McIntyre has just been he's just been a recent unsung, like, we keep talking about him, but like an unsung like MVP.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, even if he's not going to, even though he's lost, you know what I mean, a lot in the last few months and big matches here and there, but like he is, like you said, just. This whole character is like on another level because he's a heel, but like, is he really? Because he's just him.
Right.
Right. Right.
He's, you know, he's his own thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, and going back to everything that happened on SmackDown, I think part of the problem too was within the execution, but I don't know if that was by accident. Like, I feel like they were trying to stir people up as much as they did. So they immediately plugged the press conference during the confrontation with Roman and Rock. And now they started talking about it. And even in commentary on Raw, they're feeding into it, right? They're talking about the situation. They're owning like all the dislike. I don't know if you know this or not, Riley, but that video on YouTube is like the all-time most disliked video. The confrontation between Rock and Roman, like that it's is got, it had over
dislikes or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, before they shut it off, so you could like or dislike it. It had like close to a million dislikes. So and then now you have the.
Yeah, I don't dislike it.
No, I don't either.
I want to see the match.
Right.
Don't get me wrong, but I think it's a cop out to give Cody a title. Without giving him the title.
Right. And I think that's no, and that does make sense. And I think that's kind of where the fans are going with it too. Like this kind of unintentionally, or maybe intentionally, but this is kind of this We Want Cody movement is very similar to Kofi Mania, and it's very similar to the Yes movement. Like it's very encapsulating of it. And there's been a lot of people that have kind of falsely reported, oh, the Yes movement happened when Roman won the Royal Rumble, when Rock helped him. No, that happened a year later. Oh. That was not the Yes movement issue. Like that was a whole different thing. But this has just been kind of organic, right? I don't know if they, you know, maybe they were naive to how over Cody was. Maybe they were, maybe they were, or maybe they weren't, and they did this on purpose to stir the fire up, because what has not been talked about over this last week?
Well, there's no chance in hell it's going to be mentioned.
Yeah. The Vince McMahon lawsuit, nobody's talking about that shit anymore. Everybody's talking about how Rock took Cody's spot. Like, everybody. All the internet chatter, everything, all the news sites, everything are all talking about that. Nobody said a word about the Vince McMahon lawsuit. So mission accomplished, if that was the goal, to get people off of that and onto something else. Like, what's the next big thing? You know what I mean? No pun intended.
So here is my just random thought off the wall. So Rock's going to take on Roman at WrestleMania. Cody and Seth. Cody's going to win. He's going to lose it 30 seconds later to Damian Priest, which leads us into the Royal Rumble next year. The first time three-peat. First time to take on Roman Reigns and finish his story at WrestleMania 41.
Well, I don't know, maybe. But the press conference...
That's just where my head went.
Well, and you didn't see the press conference.
You guys already know my mental status at this complete moment. So.
Right. But you also didn't see the press conference, so let me fill you in there, okay?
Okay.
So
fill me in.
The press conference, they have this whole thing. Bianca came out at one point, then I kind of didn't watch for a minute, but then I turned it back on, and Seth comes out. So they introduce Seth. So Seth comes out, and Seth introduces Cody, but Roman's music hits. So now Roman comes to the stage, and he starts running down Seth, doing the whole little brother thing, and, you know, my title's better than your title, all that bullshit that they've been doing back and forth over the last couple weeks. So that happens, right? So Seth is on stage, Roman's on stage. Then Roman says, Cody lost his chance, now it's my choice, and I choose to face The Rock. Then The Rock's music hits. Rock comes out. Rock kind of has, like, you know, he and Roman aren't going at each other, right? They're pretty cordial. Seth is kind of still in the background talking about how this is kind of bullshit, right? Then Rock's trying to do his thing, and the crowd is booing. Like, the universe is booing, right? He's welcoming the press. He's welcoming the fans. He said he loves the passion. He loves the energy. And he's, you know what I mean? But they're booing him. They're not... They've still popped for the millions and millions. They still, like, do his catchphrases and things like that. But the We Want Cody, he's trying to cut a promo, and the We Want Cody chants are deafening, right? So he pulls up the family tree, the bloodline, the whole bloodline family tree. Jacob Fatu's name was pretty readable on there, too. I don't know, Kevin, if you picked up on that. Jacob Fatu is one of the cousins. He recently just became a free agent from, where was he at before, MLW? Kevin muted himself and now he doesn't know how to talk.
No, I was trying to push my mute button and it fucking went. Yes, MLW.
Yes. So Jacob Fatu's name was pretty readable there, and there's a lot of rumors that he might be coming to join the WWE, but we'll put that to the side. So he shows the family tree and explains, you know, how the family tree works. And, you know, basically The Rock's grandpa, his grandpa, blood brothers. So the tribe is built on their two families, right? And then he starts talking, and all of a sudden Cody is just like, basically no music, no pop, no circumstance, nothing. He just comes out and says, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, hold on a second. Because he made a crack about... The Rock made a crack about their family being the royal family of wrestling, right? So that drew Cody's attention and his ire. So now Cody comes out, and he starts kind of talking some smack to both The Rock and Roman. And Roman made a crack about Cody's dad. So then Cody then said that if your two grandfathers were alive right now, they'd be disappointed in you guys. So now Rock is on Roman's side. And... then Cody then says, I want you, Roman, at WrestleMania. I'm making my choice. I want you. I'm going after you at WrestleMania. So meanwhile, Seth's still in the background, just kind of being weird. And then Rock starts kind of talking some shit to Roman. He's like, to Cody. He's like, well, if you're talking about his family, you're talking about my family. If you're talking about his blood, you're talking about my blood. You don't talk about my blood. Rock hauls off and slaps Cody in the face. And now there's a big pull apart. And now Seth is on Cody's side. Seth's trying to help Cody, and he's yelling at them. And then Triple H is between them.
Hold on. Let's talk about Seth.
Yeah, Seth was selling
it. There was a lot of F-bombs and
yeah.
Fuck you. You don't get to come back in here. Just make this and that. Like, there was a lot of, we like to call it work shoot.
Yeah.
But made you believe there's some pretty fucking legit heat there.
Yeah.
Big time.
So Seth was...
First of all, I'm so upset right now because this is just complete spoilers for me because I knew I wasn't able to watch it tonight. I was planning on watching it tomorrow.
I'm not doing it justice.
You guys are just blowing my mind.
I'm not doing it justice, so please still go watch it so you can see how it happened. But there's
this
whole...
Is it going to lead to a fatal four-way?
See, that's I don't know, right? So there's so many different ways that they can go with it because Rock and Roman seemed like their thing was based off respect, right? They shook hands, they like, you know, they did the pose, they hugged, like they had this whole thing. And when everything broke down, Triple H got in the middle of it. Then you had Pierce and Nigel, or not Nigel, why do they call him Nigel? What the?
Nick Aldis
in the middle of it. I don't know why, I just thought it was Nigel McGuinness for a second. I'm all hyped up, I don't know. But so you had Aldis.
He came over from Collision.
You had Aldis and you had Pierce in the middle of it, and then you had Triple H in the middle of it, and there's this whole thing. And then, you know, Seth is cussing back and forth. Rock is throwing some shade back at Seth. And then they leave. And then they go to the panel, which the panel is CM Punk, Big E. Who else was on the panel? CM Punk, Big E, Pat McAfee. There was one of the girls was on there because Michael Cole was more the host. Like, he was on stage. I don't remember. But CM Punk's basically saying that Cody needs to fucking nut up and punch people in the face.
Yeah, he's like he was basically shitting on The Rock because he obviously doesn't forget too. So, which is great.
It's just complete chaos.
But the Big E's like, I don't know what's going to happen now. Are we going to have like a tag match or something, or like what? I mean, you know.
Right.
But he's basically like. Outing that The Rock's on the board and just can do whatever he wants and stuff.
Well,
that's the whole basis of this, that he's The Rock.
And Seth again. Seth said that too, just because you're on the board doesn't mean you get to call shots or do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Because they were pushing for The Rock and Roman to be in Saudi, and he said, no, I wanted to be at WrestleMania.
Yeah. So all the shit, and then you know, after the panel throws in their two cents, then you kind of peel back the curtain and you go to the one, I forget which girl it was that does like the backstage reporting for Raw.
It's not Kayla Braxton, is it?
I don't think it was Kayla. I think it was the other one. I don't remember. It all happened so fast. But she's interviewing Triple H and asking, and she's like, so what's going to happen? He goes, I don't know. Obviously, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of ego. A lot of things going on right now. You know, we're gonna have to kind of take a step back. And then Rock and Roman walking out together, walk past him, and Rock is going to Triple H, you need to fix this. You need to fix this, like blah, blah, blah. And then mumbled something like, you're lucky you're retired or something like that. And then Triple H goes, yeah, you're lucky I'm retired too, or something like along those lines.
What happened was he said it was out of line.
Yeah.
And then Roman said, Roman said, you're lucky you're retired or something like that. And then Triple H said, yeah, you're lucky too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That basically he's retired.
So everything is in flux now. So we could get a fatal four-way. We could get a tag match, maybe at Elimination Chamber. Maybe we get Rock and Roman versus Cody and Seth at Elimination Chamber. We could end up having, you know, maybe Roman and Rock night one and then Cody and Roman night two, or the winner faces Cody night two, which would be... I think would honestly be the best case scenario. Have Seth face Drew, because I think that match needs to happen, that rivalry needs to culminate. But maybe do, you know, maybe Rock and Roman do the head of the table bit night one, and the winner will face Cody night two, right? I think that maybe that's that, but who knows, man? Like, who knows what's gonna happen now? It's all in flux. Yeah. All we know is that Rock wants to face Roman, Cody wants to face Roman.
Maybe it's gonna end up The Rock facing Seth. and then Cody facing Roman, and they don't. Face each other.
You know, Riley, I could see that because after Seth defended him and stuff.
Yeah.
Like I could see, like I said, a tag match at Chamber. But from what I heard though, like Roman's not working Chamber though.
So. Well, yeah, but that could be a work though. If they tell him, "Hey Roman, we want you Elimination Chamber," like, what's he gonna say? No. First of all,
who doesn't want to go to Australia?
How about this though? What about this scenario? What if night one you get Rock versus Seth and Cody versus Roman, and then the winners face each other night two?
Ooh, I like that.
That'd be interesting, right? I mean, that'd be a way to like really, I don't know.
Well, I had heard that too, that supposedly there was the thoughts and rumors of course, they're like, why would they do this? But of like,
would it be title for title?
Well, that's what they said. Eventually, if Cody was going to face Seth and then Rock and Roman, they would have a unification or title versus title at SummerSlam or whatever. But they're like, why'd you do that? Like, you know, why would you?
Yeah.
I don't think it would be a unification. I think it would just be a winner take all.
But the history of that title would literally just be the year that Seth had it. But at the same time, though, if you had a champion that wasn't off TV for 3-4 months at a time, then you don't necessarily have to have, especially if you have Cody who can go between both shows, you don't necessarily have to have, you know, separate world champions, but they're separate women's world champions, so then you unify the, like, I don't know. You know me, I was all for unifying the titles to begin with, but then once they kind of came out with the new ones and had the set designs and they, you know, there's symmetry there now. It doesn't bother me as much as what it did before. But at the same time though, it's just all chaotic right now. But I love it though. It's perfect. You know, this, we have 9 or 8, 9 weeks now before WrestleMania. So there's so much time for everything. Which is what Biggie
said too. He's like, I don't know, we got 2 months. Who knows what's gonna happen?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, look at Kofi Mania. Like that main event was not set in stone. Think of all the hoops that Kofi had to jump into. Hell, I was at Fastlane in March of that year, and we still didn't know. It was less than a month from WrestleMania, and we still didn't know if Kofi was gonna have the match or not. So it was so many different things in flux that it's just, man, it's interesting, but they definitely accomplished the goal because that's what everybody is talking about now. And now after this press conference, there's more questions than answers. So now everybody's going to be talking about that for the next couple weeks. So great job by all parties. Now, the execution may be a little bit flawed to me because they could have accomplished this by not making it look like Cody was going to give his spot to Rock. But maybe, again, maybe that was part of the controversy. Maybe that was done by design. I don't know. But either way,
that was one of the scenarios that they said, that The Rock wanted this to seem like he was coming in and using his power, but wanted it to turn into something bigger than the Yes Movement.
Mm-hmm. and that's kind of what it's becoming. And Cody, man, I don't know if they estimated how well. I mean, they had to though, right? They have the merch numbers, they have the sales numbers. They know how popular Cody is. Maybe they didn't estimate exactly how popular he was, but man, the support.
I don't think they did.
The support for Cody has been overwhelming. It's great, man. I love it though.
Yeah.
I mean,
The Rock's The Rock. You know, right. Like, oh, he's gonna come in and everyone's gonna just be like, oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I said. Like, Cody's been the face. You know what I mean? He really has been the face of the company. And I don't know.
I think they have to backpedal him right now. I'm wondering if this was not the original plan.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's got to pay off with Cody winning, though, right? It's got to.
I mean, I feel like it has to. Like, it's almost like it's, you know,
it's too much now for him not to.
Yeah, or maybe Cody has to go through The Rock to get to Roman. Maybe it becomes that. Maybe Cody has to fight.
That's what I was thinking.
Rock
too.
Night one, and then fight Roman night two, and overcome them both.
That would make so much sense had he not won the Royal Rumble. Because right now he's guaranteed.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
A title shot.
Yeah, but they can always. But they can always do loopholes. Because like, I think back to like Shawn Michaels, the boyhood dream. Like he put up his Royal Rumble spot against Owen Hart at In Your House the month before.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's true.
So like they can. Oh, remember? Yeah. No, remember? Remember Rey Mysterio lost his Royal Rumble spot to Randy Orton, but then got back into it. Remember?
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's been done before.
Well, and you still have Priest in the mix too, which is a wild card. So then you don't know what the fuck's gonna happen there. Right. So it's like
that's why I like my original process of Rock and Roman and Cody versus Seth, and then Priest coming in and Wayne.
I just feel like if somebody's got, because like to me, like The Rock's not gonna dethrone Roman.
No, he's not. Here's
the thing,
Cody
though.
Cody wins the three-peat Royal Rumble.
Here's why that scenario is not going to work, though, Riley. And I don't want to burst your bubble, but if it is Rock and Roman for the title in the main event, that Philly crowd is going to eat that match alive, and they're going to boo those guys out of the building, and it's not going to be enjoyable to watch. Like it's
now they are. They didn't expect that, though. I don't think.
Yeah. So, but. I don't know, man. Like I just don't think just for the sake of say, because I don't know if you've ever seen the Brock Lesnar Goldberg WrestleMania match from like 20 years ago, but
WrestleMania 20.
Yeah, it was brutal because the fans knew both guys were leaving, and the fans were pissed that both guys were leaving. And even though they put Stone Cold Steve Austin in as like the special guest referee, they booed that match out of the building. Like those guys couldn't do anything. Like it was awful. Like they just stood there for like 20 minutes getting booed.
Yeah. They locked up for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like they got to prepare for that.
Yeah. And
maybe they don't main event. Maybe they open night one. And if that's the scenario, then they can pivot. And, okay, someone interferes, something else happens, not make it the main event.
Roman made it very clear, though.
If you made it sense.
Yeah, Roman made it very clear, though, that he is main eventing WrestleMania. So, oh, yeah. One way or the other. Yeah, dude.
This is so much more. It's very intriguing.
It is. There's so many different ways they can go with it, and I'm ready for it. I just want to see where they go because I trust the process. Like I trust where they're gonna. I trust they're gonna take us to where it needs to go to. I just want to see how it plays out.
Well, here's the other thing too: is that like, if somebody had a good thing, like, does this turn into like? Because you know how Nick Khan, you know. Push big time for like they turn something in with Nick Khan and Triple H.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, can they get something out of that then? Like, you know, who knows? I don't know.
Well, and then there's all the rumors that because Brian Gewirtz is coming in with The Rock to help out with the writing and stuff like that, that, oh, now Brian's going to take over. He's the plan B if they decide to move on from Triple H on the writing team. Have you heard that?
Yeah. Yeah, I heard about that. But I don't know. I don't think Brian Gerwitz would be a bad thing.
I don't think he wants to be the head writer of the show, though.
And if anything, him being around, I think is.
He's responsible for some of my all-time favorite like segments on TV. I mean, he's a genius. But yeah, I don't know. But so much can happen, and you know, and then sticking with SmackDown, how about Bayley turning the tables on Damage Control?
That was weird. Like,
it was very weird. I didn't like it at all.
Really?
It was very awkward and very like they should have done this at the Royal Rumble.
Well, like, I think
we knew it was happening, but it was awkward.
Well, I don't feel
like they did it right.
We needed the Royal Rumble story, though, to show her trying to save them and them not doing much to help her. And then
which they could have done that very well. They actually could have done it where they ended up attacking her, and she ended up beating them, throwing them over the top, and winning. But
Yeah, you're right.
What they did, I
well, I mean, it made sense with the backstage segment, and she like just acknowledged, like, listen, I've been hearing you guys. Like, I get that you've been making fun of me behind my back. Like, I've been trying to still keep this together, even though you clearly don't want that. And then they attacked her, and she had the lead pipe hidden, and you know that is what it is. But yeah. I don't mean, I'm just excited for the babyface Bayley, possibly. You know what I mean? Like, I'm.
Oh my god! I really hope the Bayley buddies are back.
Yeah.
Yeah. My biggest issue with it is, like, we all knew it was coming, and I feel like they just rushed it all in one night.
They did. Yeah, they could have done more backstage segments like that.
Bayley overheard that same night, and then awkward in the ring where they were making fun of her behind her back.
Yeah.
They rushed it.
They did. They could have stretched it out over a couple weeks. Or they could have been leading. They could have done a better job leaving breadcrumbs up until this point.
I feel like they left so many breadcrumbs, and then they just said, "Nope, we're done with it." Snap.
Yeah.
Like, here's the rest of them. I don't know. It's just, I didn't enjoy it. I'm really looking forward to Babyface Bayley.
Yeah, that's my whole thing of it is. Babyface Bayley, like I said, back to, you know what I mean? Like I said before, like, how huge of a pop would that be?
Mm-hmm.
If her old music hits, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, her gear is already starting to look more, you know, her boots and, like, different things like that. Like, she's grown her hair out. So she's slowly kind of morphing, I think, into that character, like, transitioning a little bit more. But it could be, like, more of a hybrid, too, of that character and... you know, who she is now. Like, she doesn't have to go straight back to just being the hugger. Like, she can evolve past, like, to a different level. But yeah, man, I'm excited for it. Like, I like Bayley, and I think she deserves the moment. So I think it's going to be a fun match. And you know, they have from this starting point, though, going forward to, like, really build that rivalry strong. So I think they have, they still have a lot of time, even though the turn did happen quick, at least they still have some time to help build that up.
Because Eva's one of those, like, babe, you know what I mean? She's like, she's not like a crazy vicious heel. You know what I mean?
Right.
She's a worried heel. So,
which is why you put her with Asuka and Kairi, who can be vicious, and that kind of makes her a little bit more dangerous. So,
yes.
What were you saying, Riley?
No, I agree with that. One thing I will say is Kairi, for as much as I love her, just always seems off. She always seems, like, out of place during her matches, and
she's a step behind a lot.
Yeah.
Yes.
She doesn't seem to be picking up. And
that was part of the problem with her run before, is that her timing was off a lot. And I don't know if it's a language barrier thing, like a communication thing, or... like, yeah, like, sometimes when she's supposed to be there to break up a pin, it seems like she's, like, a second later than what she should be. And
yeah,
stuff.
The match Monday was...
it was, yeah.
It was a little clunky.
Yeah.
At times. I did notice that. Yep. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
So, and that could be a big reason why she's in the tag team and not necessarily singles, too.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And then I'm just going to go off on another tangent.
Yeah, go ahead.
Asuka doesn't need to be in a tag team.
No,
she doesn't need that. She just needs... I kind of prefer it to be, like, as much as I like Io as well, I like it to be Asuka versus Bayley for the tag or for the championship. But
yeah,
that's never mind about that.
I mean, there's some history there because Asuka was the one who finally ended Bayley's NXT reign. So,
oh yeah, 100%. Yeah.
So, all right, so we already kind of talked about the Seth promo on Raw. Raw was a fantastic show. The R-Truth segments with Judgment Day I thought were really good. Him trying to give JD the money, and then there was that part where Damian was just like, ah, screw it, make yourself at home in the clubhouse. Like, that was good.
He put the shirt on Dom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got him all tied up.
So... do you think that's good? Do you think we're leading to Miz and Truth versus Priest and Balor for the titles? Is that what we're leading to?
I think
WrestleMania.
I think they're gonna win.
and to win. And I think so too.
Yeah. Which frees up Priest for
cashing in money
whenever cashing or whatever.
Yeah,
I think he cashes in at WrestleMania.
He might.
I know I said that like five times now already, but I'm gonna double down on it.
I think they just know he's in the back pocket. So I think it really just depends a lot on Seth's knee. I think if they get closer to WrestleMania and it turns out that his knee is not going to be good enough to go, I think they have him cash in and take it from Seth right before. And then whoever Seth is supposed to face will end up being McIntyre. Like maybe it'll be because there's still that history with McIntyre, right? So if Seth's facing McIntyre, let's say they do an Elimination Chamber match for the number one contender, and McIntyre ends up getting the win, right? So you have to go upstairs? Are you letting the dogs out or something?
Yeah, no, I'm still here. I'm just going to mute. So, okay. Sorry. Again, they're being whiny little bitches.
Okay. But you're still not muted when you said that, so.
I know. I said that on purpose.
All right. So, anyway. So, you know, it could just be McIntyre versus Seth, but then if Seth isn't healthy enough to go, you have Damian in the back pocket that can cash in, and you still have somewhat of a story that can get you to WrestleMania between... But I think Priest would just end up being a transitional champion, though, because I think McIntyre would end up winning it, but... I don't know.
It's fun. It's so muddy that we have no idea what's going on, and it's like the first time that I'm like, I'm into it, you know?
Yeah,
because the stories are intriguing. Not knowing because I'm excited.
Yeah, because the stories are intriguing.
Who wins? Yeah,
I mean that's what makes it great is that the stories are good, and that's what separates it from years past. Like years past, when things were muddied, it's because the storytelling wasn't really that great, and then it being muddy just kind of made it worse. And it was just like, okay, like but now everything has a compelling story to it, so it's just like, okay, let's just hop on this roller coaster. We'll go the ups and downs. Yeah. We'll take the ride. We'll see where it ends up, and that's what I'm trying to do. I know a lot of other fans are not subscribing to that, and they're like throwing in the freaking panic towel as soon as you know. Oh, I'm not watching anymore because Rock took Cody's spot, dude. The show is in April.
We have no idea.
It's February.
We have
just
no
give
idea.
Give it time. Let them cook. It's not even
ups and downs. It's criss and cross. And
well, the thing is, like, Jason,
so many people.
So, Jason, I'm trying to think back to when Batista won the Rumble, and then we had the Yes Movement. Like, I think initially we were like, "This fucking sucks,"
right?
But Brian wasn't even in the Rumble, so that wasn't as, I guess, upsetting at the moment. But then. Like, you started thinking, like, oh, my God, like, this shit show's going to happen. But they started slowly working. So that's all this is.
Yeah.
And I think initially I was, like, it's kind of like, you know, sit back with popcorn and just seeing everybody's comments and stuff. But, like, to the point where people were, like, The Rock's daughter, Ava Rain, had to delete her Twitter because of how fucking terrible people are.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Like death threats and shit. It's like, okay, come on. Like
she's like, I have nothing to do with any of this. Like, why are you blowing up my Twitter? Leave me alone. Like,
that's what drives me nuts. It's professional wrestling, people.
Right. It's a TV show.
Honestly, as much as like, yes, like maybe if it is true, like Rock's trying to use his power just to come in this and everything. Like, yeah, that kind of upsets me because it's like. That's kind of bullshit, right?
But do you really think that's true, though? Do you, like, seriously? No, knowing The Rock, do you really think that's true? I mean, not that you know The Rock, but just knowing what we know of The Rock, like, I don't believe that's true.
No, some of it might be, but anyway, but in the end of the day, I don't really care. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but what's funny is that we... Did you see him on the Pat McAfee show today?
Yes, I sent you the video.
Okay, I thought you sent something else, but no, I watched it before you sent it.
Okay,
I watched it today.
Yeah, the Cody crybabies, hey. Like know your role, enjoy the ride, like.
Hey honey,
did you see that video that you already sent us?
Yes.
No, your thing said the bump or whatever.
No, I didn't watch that one.
No, I sent it from the Pat. I sent the video from the Pat McAfee show. So
I know when you sent it, I had already watched it.
Okay.
I wasn't paying attention. The text you sent, it says something like the bumps. I'm like, okay, this is something else. So I didn't watch it, but anyway, nevertheless. Yeah. Come on, the. Hey, honey, want to go have sex? No, Cody's got to finish his story.
It was good. I mean, it was classic rock. I loved it. And when I saw that, I was like, this is the rock I want. Because I even tweeted it out and I said, this is the rock that I want. This is kind of the basis of my...
Which makes more sense of what happened at the press conference.
Right.
With the slapping and all that.
Right.
So...
And I said this is the rock that I want on the road to WrestleMania. And I said, you know, as Sam Roberts says, let him cook. And you know, I don't agree with a lot of things that Sam Roberts says. Like I disagree with him a lot on a lot of his takes and his wild speculation. But this one thing that I agree with him. Like, you gotta let it cook. You just gotta even if it doesn't smell right at first. You know, you got to give it time and let the ingredients simmer and let it come out. Let's judge the final product. Don't judge the preheat cycle. Like let's wait until it's out of the oven and we can slice into it and have a taste before we really judge it.
That was a hell of an analogy.
You like that?
That's a good one. Like, no. Yeah. I mean, for all we know, The Rock isn't even going to wrestle during WrestleMania, you know?
Yeah, he might not.
He'll probably get a hernia or something.
He might just be in Roman's corner versus Cody. But what if that happens? And then he and maybe they have their match somewhere else down the road. Like, I don't know, man. Like, there's so many different things that could happen.
Maybe we get The Rock in Roman's corner, and then the Hogan comes out and. And then Cody's corner. You don't know.
Maybe they get Dustin for one night to jump into Cody's corner. How about that? Wouldn't that be interesting?
I don't think so. It would be interesting, but I don't think it'll happen.
It's funny. Bully Ray, when Cody won the Royal Rumble or something like that, he had tweeted, Dustin tweeted something where he was like, I'll finish your story. And Bully goes, you should be there for it. And Dustin goes, hell, I was there last year. He's like, just because I'm not on TV doesn't mean I'm not there. Hey, switch gears real quick. I don't know if you guys caught NXT Vengeance Day at all, or the NXT that followed.
I watched that as well.
Kevin, you're kind of off NXT. You've been off NXT for a little bit, but dude,
I did know, but I did pay attention.
Carmelo Hayes got some Tommaso Ciampa heat. Like, when he turned on Trick Williams, that next night on NXT, they had Fuck You Mello chants going through the whole arena. Like, that was nuts. Like, just straight booze and Fuck You Mello, Fuck You Mello. Like, just...
And now he's back in the title picture, like, right away.
Yeah, too. Yeah, because he inserted himself in there because he basically took Trick's spot, right? So he took Trick out. And, yeah, man, that was crazy to me, the level of heat that he was able to garner there, and he relished in it, man. He looked like he belonged in it, and he really, and then Ilya, man, Ilya Dragunov is legit. Legit. Mm-hmm. If you didn't watch his match with Dijak on NXT, go watch that match. It is one of the hardest hitting. Like, they looked like they were in a real fight. Like, that, there was nothing pulled in that match. Like, they kicked each other hard in the face. They elbowed each other hard. Like, it was a brutal match. But Ilya, man, he's like, dude, when he finally comes up to the main roster, I don't know what they're going to do with him. Because he's an attraction more than anything. Like, he's a fighter. Like, him and Gunther, oh my gosh. I know they've had good matches before, but I want to see it again.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's who dethroned Gunther for the NXT.
That's not true.
Not the NXT, but the UK championship.
Championship, yeah.
Now, yeah. Gunther's got his hands full of Jey Uso, so there's a possibility we could have Jey Uso, or Jimmy could cost Jey, and that leads to a WrestleMania match. But
yeah, so do you think that's going to be Australia, Gunther and Jey?
I don't know, because they didn't officially. Did they announce it for that? I think they announced it for that.
I don't think so.
Huh.
But I think that's where Gunther loses it, as in Elimination Chamber. Or at Elimination Chamber.
Yeah. Okay.
But back to NXT. Oh. Yeah. So I don't know, like, if you listen to like the Raw crowds and the SmackDown crowds, like previously, you can hear them saying, "Whoop that Trick."
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, oh, Trick, he's over all he really over is. The place.
Yeah.
So now, you put. I really thought he was gonna win it, by the way. And then even with Carmelo attacking him, but I think they just rocketed Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes into the stratosphere.
Yeah.
I think they both have amazing careers ahead of them on the main roster.
So do you guys think that could be a storyline that could maybe carry over? Because we know Trick's probably going to be out for a little bit, right? And you got Carmelo that's spending more time on SmackDown. So do you think, like, if – let's say they had Trick show up on SmackDown and attack Carmelo. Do you think that would get the crowd reaction? Do you think it's crossed over enough to where they could carry that rivalry from, like, basically just take it from NXT and pick it right up in on SmackDown?
I don't know. Just because, like,
yeah,
I don't know if you could, like, Carmelo's like crowd reaction at the Rumble. I don't know. It didn't.
But that was before the turn, though. He was kind of a babyface.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Which I like now that he's a heel, because like
that character is a heel character. Like, that, it's hard to make that character a babyface. Like, he did okay with it, but you could tell like the wheels were kind of spinning a little bit. Like he has such a cocky presence to him. That it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to like him in that type of role.
Right.
Like the whole Mello don't miss mantra and stuff like that. Like it's very like, you know, he does it really well though. And it's,
I am him.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And he got over with that. Like, people cheered him as saying he was him, you know, but yeah, the crowd was saying like like Trick's going to whoop you. Like, I don't know, man. There was like some different chants going on, but it was crazy.
Yeah, I can't decide what's going to happen at Stand and Deliver. I can't decide if Carmelo is going to face Ilya for the title and then Trick's going to interfere, or if Trick's going to come back and it's going to be Carmelo and Trick at Stand and Deliver.
I think that'll be the case, because I don't think there's really no reason to put the title back on Melo, because he's just going to end up back. No.
It would not go back on him.
Yeah, he would lose.
That's his final match. That's his final match.
I think
he's on the main roster.
I think Trick has to put him out of NXT, not Ilya. Like, Trick needs to be the one to put him out of NXT. So
there's got to be some kind of like
loser. He would either way. One is just a match versus him, and one is him interfering with a match and just.
Yeah, I mean they could do it to where he interferes with the match, costs him the title, and then the next NXT show, they do Trick versus Melo as the main event, and then that's Melo's exit from NXT. That, I mean, they could do it that way, I guess, because they've done something that similar before with other people, so.
I think Stand and Deliver is his last match in NXT.
Yeah.
If he makes it that far, you know? I think. But I'd like to see the NXT championship on Trick Williams before he goes to the main roster.
I agree with that. I think he deserves a run with it. But like Trick though is one of those guys though that you're like, he doesn't really need it, because he is so over with the crowd. He's got the song, he's got the Whoop That Trick, like, you got all that. So, you know, he doesn't necessarily have to have the title, but just like when he was North American champion, it was for like a minute. Like, he didn't hold it for that long.
doesn't need it. He doesn't need it one bit. But I think he deserves
it. But you want to see it happen anyway.
Yeah, I think he deserves it.
And that dude that is the North American champion, what a freaking beast he is. I forget his name, but he's... Like, that dude's only had, like, three matches, but he seems like he gets it.
Obafemi?
Yeah, Obafemi, yeah. Yeah. Dude, yeah. He's a freaking monster.
That's crazy. Yeah, when I heard that he's only been around for... Something like he's only been around for like 3 months.
Yeah,
he's been wrestling for three months.
He was a part of their breakout tournament. So he's like however long he was at the Performance Center, then he was in the breakout tournament, and now he's the North American champion. Yeah. And he looked like a million bucks. Now I'm sure Dragon Lee really helped kind of cement him a little bit, but
yeah. But how do they take the title off of him?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question. That is a good question. He might have a Roman run coming up here with that title here pretty soon. All right. We'll switch gears. I guess we could talk a little bit of AEW. If you caught AEW Dynamite last night, you had Hangman versus Swerve 3. Hell of a match. Honestly, I probably liked it better than the second because it didn't have the whole blood drinking and all that. And it was a very back and forth match. But it ended in a 30-minute time limit draw, which then leads to having a three-way match at Revolution against Samoa Joe, which is cool, I guess. But I really think that by doing that, they're kind of cutting the balls off of Swerve a little bit. I'm curious what you guys think.
Well, you know, you and I talked about this and everything, and I had to ponder it, actually. Like, I think if there's a way you're going to – like, to me, I think Swerve needs to win. He needs to be the AEW world champion.
Yeah.
He's the hottest thing going right now. And he's like, he's over in a good way. He is it. You know what I mean? He's a fucking star. And I think maybe this might be the best way to put it. You know what I mean? Cause like him beating another heel one-on-one, at least at, you know, Hangman's in there too or whatever. And like, you know, as long as he like, maybe pins Joe. I don't know. Maybe it's a better way of doing it. But in the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Like, yeah, I think he needs to be champion.
The crowd's kind of almost organically turned Swerve babyface, which is kind of weird. And Hangman kind of leaned into it. Like, he went kind of full heel after the match, too. You know, crying and but
Swerve's entrance is so fucking good.
Yeah.
Because Not even Prince Nana, the whole dance and everything. Just Swerve, his swagger.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's like he doesn't give a fuck that he's out here dancing and he's at his side or anything. He, you know what I mean? Like it's his own thing. So, you know.
And it's weird. They almost kind of did a double turn by Swerve asking for the 5 more minutes and Hangman denying it. Like that in that moment, they like switch roles. Sorry, Ryan. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's fine. If it's triple threat match, I don't think they're gonna let Samoa Joe get pinned. I think Swerve should pin Hangman for the title.
Yeah.
That does make sense too. Yeah. It still makes Joe look strong and
right.
All that. Yep.
And I really think they missed opportunity when Swerve hit him with the buckshot and then hit the Swerve stomp. The crowd reaction to that was so deafening. That should have been the 1-2-3 match over. They went like another 10 minutes after that. And wow. I didn't care as much about the rest of the match as like that moment was the height of the match. If the match ends right there, Swerve is cemented as the man. Yeah. I think that's that. Like they missed that opportunity, and it's just like, oh, like I get where you're trying to go with it, but the 30-minute draws, man, are such a letdown. Like you heard the crowd when that bell rang and the 1-2, and everybody's like, oh, like you know what I mean? Like they wanted it so bad for Swerve. Maybe in the long run it'll be a good thing, especially if he wins it. I guess maybe that will make it worth it because then it would kind of give him that extra, maybe that extra boost if they do it. But if he doesn't win it, then they've killed that momentum. So hopefully they swerve in the correct direction.
Yeah.
No, the crowd wants it. Everybody wants it. They want him champion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just like, I just feel like, you know, Samoa Joe. But to me, he's just kind of like a placeholder. You know what I mean? So, because in the end of the day, like honestly, like if, let's say MJF does come back, he does resign, he's got that feud with Adam Cole and all of them, and like that feud doesn't need a title. You right. know what I mean?
Right.
So,
right.
So they're at least making the title, it could be relevant with other people.
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. And they need to, because, and you know, especially like if, you know, we don't know if MJF had surgery or not. Like AEW is very, very, very quiet about, like, they don't talk about injuries at all. Like, they almost pretend like guys aren't injured. So, you know, yeah. they aren't going to say that, oh, MJF had a successful shoulder surgery, we're not going to see him. Whereas, like, WWE showed them wheeling CM Punk into surgery. You know what I mean? Like, it's a completely, right. you know, they're more transparent. But, and that part of that has to do with them being a public company, I guess. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see where they go with that. And it's just, man, like, Swerve is the man. Like, he really... It's weird how he has really ascended to being the most popular person really in AEW right now. But he also is kind of the most compelling story. Everything he yeah. does is story driven, very similar to MJF. He's the other person that was very story driven. The other thing that's story driven is the stuff that they have going on with Sting and Darby Allin and stuff like that. Real quick though, so correct me if I'm wrong. Have you guys noticed anything with the CMML thing with the Blackpool Combat Club? Like, all the stuff that they've been doing. Like, I kind of feel like they're trying to make the CMML guys like the NWO. Because every time, like, so there's the three guys that'll sit in the crowd, and then there's the other guys that'll wrestle, but then the three guys from the crowd will get in the ring, and then all of a sudden the locker room will clear out, and you got heels and baby faces coming out with, like, bats yeah. and lead pipes and shit. Like, it's almost like they're trying to make the CMML luchadors, like, some sort of, like, NWO-type threat.
Am That's I the what only it one? Seems like.
Okay, so no, I'm not the only one picking up on that. No. Kevin, no opinion on that?
I haven't really paid attention to that, so...
All right, well, if you catch it, catch it yeah, next time.
I didn't understand it at all. Like, I just thought it was like, oh, okay, this is a little odd. I don't know who those three guys are, but they seem to be coming out and attacking
yeah.
now. And I'm sure other people know exactly who they are.
Yeah, I don't really know who they are. I don't. Either, so you're not alone in that. Yeah. So, but, you know, but there's guys that will work a match, but then other guys that sit in the crowd and then they get involved yeah. and it's just a whole thing.
Let me guess, there's some kind of champions or something, right?
They have more no, titles. They don't have title belts. Okay. That's the one thing yeah. they don't have. Yeah, but they are.
I just figure, you know.
They're just known as the CMML Luchadors, and they'd have names. I just forget. I think yeah. one of them might be Lince Dorado, but they call him Dorado. They just call him Dorado or something like that. But I can't tell. He wears masks, so I have no idea. But
AEW really is lacking title belts on their TV.
Yeah,
so I really they don't
have enough. And then Tony, and they're all, another thing they're not lacking are special announcements by Tony Khan. He made another one on Wednesday. That in March, the first week of March, there's going to be a special show at the Boston Garden, and it's going to be called, what's it going to be called? Business Time or something like that? Or Big Business.
All about Mercedes.
Yeah, basically it's going to be the debut of Mercedes Moné, a.k.a. Sasha Banks. So that's what they're alluding to. She's from Boston. The title of the show implies like something business related or boss related, so I have a feeling that that's going to be when she finally debuts for AEW. Good for her. I think she should have gone back to WWE, but you know, whatever, she wants to do what she wants yeah. to do, so you know, she can go to yeah. AEW and hopefully not get hurt.
I mean, yeah, right. And it could, you know, it could just come down to Bischoff and Conrad talked about this. I think it was on their show. Was it on their show? Is it on theirs or anyway, about, you know, easier schedule, more money.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which speaking of it, the podcast talking about AEW, Jason, I know you listen to
Kevin Nash's podcast, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you listen to the one of his critique on AEW?
Yeah. Didn't I bring that up last week?
Did you?
I'm pretty sure I told you guys I brought it up last week and said it was hilarious. You guys should listen to it.
Oh. Okay. I don't know. I don't.
I feel like you did. I just don't remember. Yeah. I remember we talked about Kevin Nash.
Yeah. I did listen to that episode. And it was okay. He was spot on a lot of it. And it was funny. And what were your thoughts, though, since you watched it? Or listened to it, I mean.
Well, I mean, I'm a fucking Kevin Nash mark. So.
Right, yeah.
Right. Anything he said, I mean, you know. In his, actually, he talked a lot about last week's episode about Vince and stuff and everything. And,
yeah.
You know, a lot of his stuff was interesting. He the funny thing about Kevin Nash is that, like, the title of, like, their show, like, oh, okay, it's going to be about this, but it's only about that for, like, 20 minutes.
Right.
Or 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he talks about just random shit the entire time.
Yeah. But, yeah, yeah. No, he was, I mean, he was, I mean, he's not wrong.
He wasn't wrong, yeah. I mean, he was he didn't know enough about Hook. Like, he thought Joe took the title off of Hook, which was something he messed up on, which, you know, isn't what happened. But, I mean, he didn't know a lot about that story, but calling him, like, Baby Taz and shit like that was kind of funny. Like, he, like he's not believable to Kevin Nash, but.
Yeah, no, I love that podcast. I wish it wasn't all over the place a little bit.
Yeah. It's usually it's long too for those guys. Like, and he talks in such like a monotone voice. Like sometimes if I'm driving, I can't always listen to it because he kind of puts me to sleep a little bit.
Yeah, and that's not a bad thing.
Well, I'm driving. It's a bad thing.
Well, even driving's bad. Yeah. But I tell you what's been really good lately has been 83 weeks.
Yeah,
like the last few episodes and stuff, and even some of the ones he'll have special shows with, like John Alba or somebody or whoever else.
It's strictly business. It's a different
strictly
show.
Business. Yeah. Like they're really, really good. So
I like listening to Eric, and I like a lot of his opinions, and a lot of stuff he says really spot on. You know, and he has a lot of experience in the stuff that he talks about, so he's very. Very believable. He does repeat himself a lot, which sometimes gets annoying, but it's not.
But he always admits it, though, too. You
yeah.
I mean? Like, he always
does.
Admits.
He owns it.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway.
All right. And then the last thing was the last segment of Dynamite where Darby Allin and Sting won the tag titles, which is good for them. I like how Taz said, like, why is Sting winning the tag titles when he's retiring? Just to give them to the Young Bucks, I guess, who then came out and attacked them with baseball bats, I guess. But I didn't see any of that because my TV cut off the last end of the show. I thought the show was over because after they won, I was, oh, cool, they're just celebrating. I didn't know anything else happened after that.
Yeah, they just came out and beat both of them, beat Sting's sons.
Yeah.
I guess Darby was already busted open or something. And then they pretty much just went over and just wiped his blood all over their suits and stuff. So
it was a brutal beatdown that the announced team did not sell well at all.
No, it did not. Not good enough for me.
Did you catch the end of Dynamite, Riley?
I didn't actually watch it this week. Right now I don't even care about AEW.
All
right.
There's
nothing about. Like, I'm hooked on NXT and WWE.
Well, I'll tell you.
And PBR.
And PBR.
So, okay. I don't even have time for AEW.
WWE, NXT, and PBR.
You made that clear. Yeah, you made that clear before we went on the air.
So. Yeah. Well, I will tell you. If you get
to... No. PBR, professional bull riding, not beer.
Oh, okay.
In case you... Unleash the beast.
I will say this: if you get the chance, watch Swerve and Hangman from the opening match of Dynamite. It's amazing.
So Riley,
match.
Riley, who is the PBR world champion
right now? There's not a world champion. Last year it was.
Oh, is it Bacon?
Well, I mean, like you win it every year, and then
oh,
they don't defend
year,
it.
Yeah.
They don't face, so they have nothing but Romans.
Yeah, it's not like it's like the NFL. Like, if you say who's the championship, who's the champion right now? There's no champion right now. It's still playing out.
Do they have trios titles?
No.
Oh.
No, they do not. I think Cassio Diaz is number one right now. He's a rookie. He's kicking ass. He's Brazilian. He's going to be tough to beat.
Okay, I believe you. Okay, I believe you were talking about pressure bowl right, not the beer. Okay, I get it.
Last year, Ibarito won. He was a fun fact. He is the first Triple Crown. He rookie of the year and the world champion.
I believe you, Riley.
And points winner.
I believe you.
If I know this is a wrestling podcast, but check out Unleash the Beast, because, man,
no.
You got the bull riders. Those bulls are rank. They are going to fuck you off.
Fuck you off?
Why do you fuck somebody off?
It's the best fucking time you'll ever have.
Well, thank you for that, Riley. I appreciate the education on PBR bull riding.
I'm just going to throw this out here. Boudreaux Campbell, he's my guy.
All right.
He's the one to watch. He's not winning much, but he's fun to watch.
Billy Gunn was once a professional bull rider, so it's relevant.
There's no Indy Harwell, but...
All right, we guys have anything else so I could close the show out? We're a little over an hour now, so let's close this out. Kevin's like, I want to go to bed, and we're talking about bull riding.
Cool Whip? Check out Cool Whip. Enough said.
All right. Well, that's enough said about this episode of the Gimmick Minute Wrestling Podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Hopefully you followed along with us. If you did, please follow along and join us on X. Join the conversation by hitting us up at @LiveYourGimmick. That's the @ symbol followed by LIVYOURGIMMICK. You can also leave a comment on how you like the show or anything about the show on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify. I usually will post a poll with the episode on Spotify. Answer that, interact with us as much as you can, share with your friends, subscribe to the channel, all that fun stuff. And that's it, man. So enjoy the ride. You know, like I said, don't judge the meal by the preheated oven. Let's let it cook for a little bit and see how it tastes at the end.
Don't get bucked off. Make sure you wait those 8 seconds.
Yeah, stay along for the ride.
Yeah, not the bull ride.
Just to let you know, Dana White, he has a bull, and the UFC fighter Cowboy, he's gonna ride him at the championship, and if he can win, yeah, you just took off your, But anyway, he's gonna ride him for. He's not gonna make it the 8 seconds, but he's gonna try. It's happening in May. Kid Rock's going to kick it off.
All right. Hey. For Riley and Kevin, I'm Jason, reminding all of you smarts out there to be a fan, ride a bull, and live your gimmick. Good night, everybody.
Make sure you fuck off. Or
buck off. It's buck off.
Buck off,
pal.
You don't want to buck off.
You want to buck on.
Fuck on.
Buck off. Buck on.
Get your fuck on and your buck on. All right, goodbye.